someone has said, if you want to find gratitude, look for it in the dictionary. I think the question that I was pondering, one of them, in relation to this, when we come to Thanksgiving, in the scheme of life, are we grateful or do we grumble? Are we thankful or are we critical? Dr. Alexander White, who was a famous preacher in Edinburgh years back, was known for his pulpit prayers. And he would always give thanks to God for something. That was one of the things that he was known for. But one morning, it was a terrible, terrible day weather-wise, and maybe somewhat like what has happened in Louisiana the last couple of days. And anyway, one of the people sitting out of the congregation thought, the preacher will have nothing to thank God for on such a wretched morning like this. And Alexander White, he got up and he began to pray. And he says, we thank thee, Lord, that it is not always like this. When I think of what we're going through, thank you, Lord, it's not always as it is. But we have so much to thank the Lord for. And we've already talked a lot about that, actually, just what has been shared this morning. I'd like to focus on Thanksgiving using the book of Colossians primarily. Because Colossians has a lot to do in celebrating Thanksgiving. And I want to look at this, just portions of this. I want to begin with the beginning of Thanksgiving. And really it starts with the Lord Jesus. In Colossians 1, and we'll start there and then we'll just kind of move through. Colossians 1, verse 3. Read these words. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks. We give thanks. Thanksgiving goes to God the Father. He's the resource of all real blessing. And we are to be thankful to Him, the great giver of every good gift. And obviously the ultimate gift was the giving of His Son. We think the relationship between the Father and the Son is a relationship that speaks of intimacy, the ultimate love between the Father and the Son. When we think of God, the Father, God, the Son. But you think, you know, in just human relationships, if there's a healthy family at all, There's love, and a father loves his son. And what is so profound about God the Father, we remember the words, now this is in 1 John, but it says, the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You think, how could you send your own son to do something so horrific in order to save the world in rebellion? We realize that this was huge, the most amazing demonstration of ultimate love. So we thank the Father on this day for sending the Son. Because He loved us, He loved His Son, and He sent His Son to save us. What a wonderful thing. What a reason to praise our great God. And thanksgiving goes to our Father, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice again in our words, Colossians 1 verse 3, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that God has done for us has been done ultimately through His Son, the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus means essentially Savior in Matthew 1:21. Remember, we think of the Christmas scene, which, by the way, is coming pretty fast, right? And it says, He will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Jesus as a Savior. The promised Savior, the Christ, He was promised long before. He is the Lord. He is the all-sufficient one. He can actually save because of His ultimate authority and His victory. You know, we rejoice that Christ came and died in our place to pay for our sin. You know, when you come into faith, there's been a point in our lives when we realized there was something deeply wrong within. And we were in a mess. I remember one professor years ago said, in coming to salvation, you have to realize that you have a need and that God has the solution. And, you know, for many of us who came, if you came to Christ earlier in life, I remember even as a little kid having that sense, you know, after maybe you hear a sermon, and in my case, I think it was through hearing, you know, people talk about your need for a Savior because of your sin. And I remember this burden, this fear, this great concern in my heart that I needed to be saved. If I want to go to heaven, I needed to get saved. And God used that to bring me to the Savior. But Christ, He died for us, and then He rose. And that means He's victorious over sin and death. And for the person who's put their faith in Christ, what a wonderful Savior we have. What a reason to thank God. There's a track came across, I don't know if it's still in print, but it was by Billy Graham years ago. And this was kind of in the conclusion after you know that Christ died for you and rose from the dead and that He wants to save you and you need to be saved. And this, I'll just read a part of this. Dear Lord, this is in a personal statement. If a person wants to receive Christ, dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need your forgiveness, that sense of need. I believe that Christ died in my place to pay the penalty for my sin and that He rose from the dead. I now invite Jesus Christ to come into my life as my Savior. And then this statement, thank you for making me your child. Thank you for making me your child. And when we look at life, hopefully each one of us, obviously the words are not the specific thing, but our heart before the Lord, when we trust in Christ, we can say, thank you, God, for making me your child. And I hope everyone hearing me has done exactly that. And that just draws us, it impels us to be thankful to Christ and to our Father for the salvation that is provided in the Son. I want to look back at as we move a little bit further in Colossians chapter 1 again, and remember in verse 3 we said, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He continues on in the sentence, and I drop down, the sentence continues, if you notice in your translation, the sentence goes on, and in verse 5 we read this, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth. Now, the gospel, again, Christ's death on our behalf, His resurrection, He can save us. 1 Corinthians 15 is clear. That's the most critical thing that we absolutely want, this important truth. And as we come, then we have this amazing, when we trust in Christ, and we know the word, we receive the word of truth, then we have this hope laid up for you in heaven. This hope. Oh, how we need hope. It takes no great insight to see there's people just roaming around in our world without a sense of hope. You know, they're trying to cling on to something, they're trying to have just some sense of, you know, can I get through this day, can I get through this week, you know, what's out in the future? They're clinging a lot of times things that just turn to dust and ashes. But notice, for the believer in Christ, the hope laid up for you in heaven. It's secure. It's laid up. It's solid. It's in the safety deposit box of heaven. It is sure for everyone who knows Christ. I love these words, and I'm sure you've heard them many times, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, I just read these words because it talks about our hope, our living hope. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, know, praise be to God, thanksgiving to God, exaltation of God, who according to his great mercy, notice his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. And this is the part I want to highlight, to a living hope, a vibrant hope, a dynamic hope, an unchanging hope, a living hope that will never die through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And notice verse 4, it says in this passage, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Imperishable. You know, nothing we can get in this world that you can buy at the store or purchase on a car lot, nothing is imperishable. But this is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that amazing? It's reserved. Your name's on it. The reservation is in and it's sure. And it will not falter. It will not be lost. We have this inheritance, and this, and then thinking back to our Colossians passage, this hope that we have, and in, again in Colossians 1, and again, as I said, we're kind of going through the book, picking up certain points, but in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now notice, if you remember what we just read in 1 Peter, it says you will obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Then it says in verse in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This inheritance, this is a wonderful, you know, you think of some people who maybe they have really rich parents, right? And I know that's not the norm for most of us, but let's say you had somebody who ran and you had this inheritance coming and you thought, boy, I'm going to get this amazing inheritance. I don't know if that happened to you. For most of us, it didn't. But if we know the Lord Jesus, we have this amazing inheritance that's coming. It's ours. We're shareholders in salvation. And we share right now, not only the what is reserved for us in heaven, this inheritance that will never perish, and it will not be disappointing to you. It will be absolutely wonderful. Where we were, this makes it even more amazing how wonderful, because it says in the Colossians passage, we're giving thanks to God, qualified the saints in light. Saints in light. Notice though the contrast, verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. One writer of years gone by said, there is a power of darkness, and to this power of darkness the unsaved sinner belongs. Doesn't realize that, but there's darkness, pitch black, and it's a realm of sin. And then the contrast, for those who know the Lord, all who are in Christ are no longer under the authority of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. They are taken from this domain and rule and are translated into another kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of his love. What a wonderful thing. You find. And this pack of boys, you know, they were going down. Well, there's one little boy, he's 10 years old, and his name is Josh Dennis. Now, I don't know if Josh was a dreamer or he got sidetracked or whatever, but when the Boy Scout group came out of this cave, Josh was not to be found. And they started looking around. Josh, where are you? Where are you, Josh? Where are you? And they were looking around for this kid. And they realized he was somewhere back in that mine. He didn't even have a flashlight. I don't know how he got distracted and just distracted from the group and separated from the group. There was a man named John Skinner. He had been a foreman for that mine for quite some time. He knew that mine. Actually, the mine, as it said in the story, was there were tunnels. By the time you would go through this whole mine, the tunnels came up to about 21 miles of tunnel, and there were six different levels of this mine. And there were apparently lots of places in this mine where it was so treacherous. You could fall off and you would obviously lose your life. There was, even in this mine, there had been, I don't know why this, I suppose just the nature of mining, but there had been dynamite containers, boxes of dynamite in certain places. And Mr. Skinner knew that that dynamite, a lot of it was really old and really susceptible to explosion if it was bumped into in the wrong way. Well, this little kid, 10-year-old kid, Josh, is in this mine, no doubt by now he's scared to death. And you know, if he moves in the wrong place, not only is there dynamite, but there's drop-offs, there's all kinds of danger. And he doesn't have a flashlight. He doesn't know where he's at or where he could go. And then to this man, Mr. Skinner, he spent 5 days, and he finally found Josh. He got him out alive. And can you imagine, just put yourself, just for a moment, put yourself in a 10-year-old mind and body in pitch black. Pitch black. And you don't know where you're at. You don't know what to do. You're totally separated from your friends and from the light. You're in darkness. You know, the sad thing is there's a lot of people. A lot of people in the world, they don't know they're in darkness, but they're in a worse situation than Josh was, because they don't know the light of life, and they're in darkness under the domain of the evil one. Trust Christ. We're rescued. Notice it says delivered, rescued from the domain, transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. What a wonderful thing. We have so much to be thankful for this day. You know, there's lots of things. This wasn't the case. But if you trust in Christ, the ultimate issues are taken care of. And we have the ultimate reason for thanksgiving. And it's all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. It goes on to say in the same passage, in whom, in verse 14, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been released from, redemption is to be released, delivered from the state of slavery, and we've been released. What a wonderful thing. And that's really only the beginning. That's the beginning for Thanksgiving. And as we go into, through Colossians, we begin with Thanksgiving, but we also see we can abound in Thanksgiving. And I just want to go over to chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 6, and then we'll pick up some things there. But thanking the Lord for the all-sufficiency of Christ. Notice what it says in verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, for all of us who have trusted in him, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing, and in my version it says gratitude, but it really should be translated with thanksgiving. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Now, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, you received it. But we receive Christ by faith when we trusted in him. And one has stated the method of justification determines the method of sanctification. So when you put your faith in Christ, you trust him to be your personal Savior. But that's not the end of our Christian journey. It's just the beginning. Now we're to trust him for other ways that he can meet our needs and for all that he is, for all that we face. Walk by faith, trusting him. Getting to know him, counting on him. I appreciate what one writer has said. The life of faith is not simply looking once to Christ for salvation. And I think one of the dangers in our Christian life is sometimes we think, well, I've trusted Christ, that's it. You know, just, you know, that's all there is, right? Oh, no, that's but the beginning. But going on is not simply looking Christ once for salvation, but going on with him hour by hour. Being justified by faith, we live day by day on the principle of faith. We do not receive life from the once crucified Lord and then go on in our own power. That just leads to frustration. Every day, the believer needs Christ as his strength. Living by faith, he is living outside his own resources and by the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. We walk by faith. And faith is realizing that I can't do this on my own. I can't get through life the way I want to get through life in my own strength. But Christ is sufficient not only to initially forgive my sins, but to strengthen me for every day as I journey my path. We are walked by faith. And the word walk here is a command. It's an imperative. So walk in him. We're to, you know, as we think of walking, you know, when we move forward, we shift our weight. We shift it from one leg and then to the other, and we're walking. When we're walking in him, we're putting our weight on him, and we're trusting him for this day, for the next day. We're trusting him for what we need, whatever it is we're facing. We all face different things. We all have different struggles and situations, but we trust him. And he is there for us. But we need to keep our faith focused on him. It's not just, you know, trying to do better, not just trying, you know, to straighten myself up, but looking to him for the sufficiency I need to do whatever it is I need to do. Notice in our Colossians 2, again, I pick up verse 6 and then I want to go to verse 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Now notice, having been firmly rooted, verse 7. Having been, the idea, a lot of it is just that initial salvation. Okay, when we came to Christ, we're solid, right? Spiritually, before the Lord. But again, that's not all there is. It says now, and then it's a progressive idea, being built up in him. Being built up in him. The idea of being progressively built up. It's a process. And we know that. If you're a Christian for any period of time, you know it's a process. It's a growing process. And we want to make the most of it. We want to get the best out of life as God has designed it. But that only comes about as we walk in him, being built up in him. And how are we built up? Well, it's by way of God's word. Now notice, this is a passage that uses a similar word. And this is in Acts 20:32. And it reads this, and now he commended you to God and to the word of his grace. Notice the word of his grace. Isn't that a wonderful way to speak of our Bible? The word of God's grace, his provision, which is able to build you up. It is able to build you up. That's Acts 20, 32. It's by the truth in God's word that we're built up, we're strengthened. It's the nourishment. You know, just think, if we decided that, you know, we were going to have this unending diet and we weren't going to eat hardly anything. Well, obviously, over a period of time, if we weren't eating right, we would be in terrible trouble. I saw that, it comes to my mind. I saw this in prayers of the persecuted church. This young girl, she was a Christian. She became a Christian at a fairly young age, and her dad was not a Christian. It's one of these extremely anti-Christian countries, and so basically he locked her in a room for months, and basically, essentially starved her. I mean, just gave her a little bit of food, just enough to keep alive. But when they found her, when she finally got free from this thing, she had been so malnourished for such a long period of time that she was just about dead, but she couldn't walk. a lot of her body had started to shut down. And when you see the first picture that they showed of her, she has crutches on both sides, and just trying to support this poor little body that can't hardly stand up. And it was so sad. But that, you know, when we as Christians, if we neglect the nourishment of God's word, we ended up shriveling up, and the very things we need from God, we're not enjoying, we're not benefiting from. We need to come to God's word, built up in him by the word, through the word of Christ. And notice, being built up in him, verse 7 of the Colossians 2, and established in your faith, established. The idea of established, being firm, being stable, being strong, not being thrown about. You know, you think of some of these old football players, you know, are, you know, huge and monstrous, you know, and you see them on the front line of a, I mean, of course, a quarterback, he's always the hero, right? But it's these front line guys that are protecting him, and where he can, you know, throw the pass or whatever he's trying to do. But those guys, as strong as they are, they have to be stable. They have to have cleats on their feet, so that when they are hit, when they're hit by the opposing team and they're trying to protect the quarterback, they can stop the other line. And that goes back not only to the strength of their legs, but to the grounding, the stability they have, and the traction on their feet. And so we as Christians, we're hit. We are hit by so many things in our culture. Our culture is just in such an antagonistic mood toward Christians. And of course, God moves this has always been from the beginning, you know, go all the way back to Cain. It hasn't got any better. Cain killed his brother, right? And Cain's deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Well, that thing is continuing all the way down. So we as Christians need to have our feet grounded spiritually, so we have solid traction, and that we're established in our faith. Because, again, faith, we know what God says in his word about us, and we believe what he says, and we stand on what he says. And so when we're attacked, when it's coming at us, we can stand strong. God's grace. In our faith, we have to know wonderful. And it goes on to say, again, just pulling all this together, back to verse 6, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being pushed in your faith, just where we're at, as you and overflowing with gratitude or thanksgiving. Overflowing. You know, the banks, the picture is banks of a river where you're getting, the water is coming and it's just overflowing the banks. I remember as a kid, and from our own little farmhouse, and it was called Dry Creek, so you can imagine it wasn't much of it. You'd have a little bit of water on it after the rain, and they built some dams up. There wasn't much that came through that little stream, and it had the appropriate name, Dry Creek. But I remember one time it rained and rained and flooded, and up the river, and it was all kind of, and I remember going out and looking, and just as a little kid, looking over that pasture and where the water had come down to Dry Creek. Well, at that time, it wasn't dry anymore, because there was water everywhere, and it was overflowing the banks, and it was overflowing into the pasture land, and it was just water everywhere, and it was coming up, and our barn was fairly elevated, but it was coming up. It didn't get into the barn, but it came into the corral area. Water everywhere. God's wonderful provision for us in Christ should cause us to when we realize what we have, not only in time, but for eternity, we of all the people on the planet should be most thankful, overflowing, abounding with thanksgiving, joyful thanksgiving, as one puts it. How important for us to begin to see what we have more and more. And it's a journey. It's not just, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 10 years and I've kind of got it all figured out. No, God is so much bigger. There's always more to learn of what we have in Christ. There's always more. And as we get to know it, then we grow in it. And as we grow in it and we begin to enjoy our benefits, we have more and more reason to be thankful. More and more reason. Say, God, thank you. Thank you, God, that it is all that I have. One has put it this way. Believers have in Christ everything they will ever need to meet any trial, any craving, any difficulty they might encounter in this life. Now just think about that. You know, whether, you know, this, think back to that little girl that I mentioned, and she had another picture of her where she had become more healthy and her body started to respond and still had implications from the past, but she's a Christian young lady. And she was just thankful to the Lord for how he had provided for her, how he had brought her along to where she was at. You see, we may not be in that kind of a situation, but we're all in some situation. And as we realize how Christ is sufficient for us, and wherever we're at, whatever we're dealing with, we have reason to thank him. And of course, it takes us back. We have to know what we have. I jumping to Colossians 3:16, I want to go to this passage. And again, it talks about the Word, how important it is for the Word for us to grow in the Lord. Colossians 3:16. And it says this, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. So we need that, the Word of God, so that the Word is a part of our life, so we're understanding. Notice, it's the Word of Christ. We're not going to get to know Christ apart from his Word. It's the Word of Christ. May it dwell in you richly. And then it says, with all wisdom, as it dwells in us, and as our wisdom grows, we then can share with other people. We can teach, you know, maybe it's, let's say, and I know we've really missed, and the people who have been teaching younger children, passing on the truth what they're struggling. But notice, let the Word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, and then with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, thankfulness in your hearts to God. But notice, it is critical that the Word of Christ dwell in us in order for us to mature. And then the benefit of that, the overflow of that, will be thankfulness. Now, as we get in the Word, we get to know the Lord. You know, again, if we were to move on, or thinking of this passage in Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, you know, everything we need, he is to us. He's our life. And as we get to know who he is, what he is to us, we can draw on that by faith. Now, think about this passage. And as you drop your eyes down in Colossians 3, verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Now, we can only put that on because Christ is our sufficiency for that. So we need compassion. It comes from him. Kindness comes from him. Humility comes from him. Gentleness and patience. Bearing with one another. Forgiving each other. How that is so needed in our world. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Think how unloving this world is. How brutal this world is. But Christ is our sufficiency to love one another. To love our family members. To love our neighbors. To love the body of Christ. All of this comes from him because Christ is our life. Isn't it a wonderful passage? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I can do all things. You know, whatever we face, it's through him or in him. That's actually the Greek word is. In him, in Christ, we're in Christ, and in him we can do what we need to do. We can face what we have to face. I can do all things. I can go through whatever I have to go through because of Christ who strengthens me. Another wonderful passage, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. Well, we bring all the weakness, right? We bring all the weakness. He brings all the power. His grace is sufficient. And he says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. We have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Now, notice again, I want to go back into this Colossians 3:16 with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, what I'd like to do for this moment is, John, we can go back to those hymns. And I know we get, you know, it's hard for us not to sing, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns. Christianity is marked by singing. It's marked by singing. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts. Now, let's just listen to some music of thanksgiving. But think of it. Let's think of it in view of what we have to be thankful for because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufficiency for us. For John, would you play those first hymn for us, please? And then we'll play then we'll go to the second one.
Thank you.
our Savior. I'd just like to think of one other passage. As we think of the Lord, and we give thanks to the Lord for our all-sufficient Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at verse 17 of chapter 3 again in Colossians. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, whatever's in our path, whatever we're called to do, whatever we need to do, whatever you do, in word or deed, whether it's speaking or just action, going to work, meeting a need, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I think in his name, we're doing it in his person. We can't see him, but he is present with us. So we do it in his name. We do it in his sufficiency, which Colossians highlights again. And we do it under his authority. So we move forward confident that he's sufficient for whatever we do, and we're trying to understand what he wants us to do. So we move forward. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we know that we have everything we need as we step out to go on our path in our personal life. And we all have a different journey, a different unique path to go on. But as you step out, as you move forward, remember, he, it's all about him, and he's all sufficient for us. He's everything we need in his name. And as we realize that he is absolutely sufficient for us, we give thanks to him. We say, oh God, thank you, through him to God the Father. Because he's all that we need for all that we face. We should give thanks to him as we journey onward. Counting our many blessings. I'd like to play that. John, would you count our many blessings? Name them one by one. As we go, as you listen to the song, just think in your mind, what blessings should I count and should I praise the Lord? Giving thanks through him to God the Father. You know, as we just ponder our forgiveness of sins and our absolute that's reserved for us in heaven, we have a living hope. And we see not only what is in front of us, that Christ is sufficient for us, we have so much reason to give thanks. Thankfulness, thanksgiving begins and abounds in the all-sufficient Christ, for he is our ultimate reason for thanksgiving. So when we think of tomorrow, and we, whatever kind of bubble you're in, and may it not only be tomorrow, but may it be throughout our life, that we look to the Lord Jesus through the word of Christ, walk in him, and whatever we do in word or deed, do it in his name, and bring thanksgiving to his person as we travel through. You know, life, we think of so many dear people that are struggling today and beat up by our world. But may we be thankful. If all people have reason to be thankful. Ultimate thanksgiving. Thanksgiving centers in the Lord Jesus. It may be a big part, a central part of our lives because of the Lord Jesus. I'd just like to conclude giving thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son, John.
Thank you.
that's what we want to do, is just give thanks. We just thank you for sending your son. We thank you for who he is, what he has done for us, and who he is to us in time for all eternity. We lift him up.